This is the home of the Grit Grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
Shut up and drive.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Craig Button in here for Noodles. Noodles had his surgery this morning. He came out of it okay, but...
You get under full anesthetic.
Hang on a sec. Yes guy, no guy on Steph being a bad wife. I called Steph on my way here, kind of like get an update on what's going on today. And she's like, yeah, Noodles is in the car with me. And Noodles is like, ugh.
Yeah, he's not handling it well.
He's a mess. And she's like, yeah, I'm just dumping this guy off at home and I'm coming in. I'm like,
well, to be fair to her.
Hang on a sec. Yes guy, no guy.
No guy. No guy. She was concerned about Noodles. She went back to the house. She circled back to make sure everything was
all
good.
You are dead wrong here because I know you love Aaron. Mm-hmm. And if Aaron had knee surgery, you would be like, I'm not coming in. I got to take care of my girl. Yes guy. You would.
I'm with Brian. No guy. I can tell you what. My wife was giving birth to our first daughter, and it was early. She was not in a good mood, and she basically told me to get lost. She just said, "Get lost."
She didn't want you around.
No, no. Like I was not comforting her. I was of no help to her. I was zero thing there. Like just get out of here. Get out of my face and show up at some point in time when we know what we're having.
Well, and here's the truth about our main man Noodles. He works more than anyone on earth, and if Steph was having back surgery, he would be in here today working.
No, he'd be in New Jersey calling a game.
Maybe even in New Jersey, or he'd do the show and somehow
leave
get
from
to
New Jersey
to
go to Lethbridge for a speaking engagement, and then do 3 nights straight of TH2N.
Right, exactly.
And he would phone Steph and say, "How you doing?" He'd FaceTime her.
He would. He would check in. He'd be very concerned, but he would continue.
He
to
would
work.
Phone Steph and lovingly say, "Have you eaten yet?"
So more Noodles updates throughout the day. The big story in Toronto, Kevin Pillar suspended 2 games. So that is in conjunction with Major League Baseball. The team got out in front of this, but they're working with Major League Baseball, and that's going to be it. He's suspended for 2 games. He's speaking with the media. We're going to try to get you that audio. But let's bring in Buster Olney from ESPN, MLB Insider. What do you make of the process the Jays have taken here, Buster, to work with MLB and to hand out a 2-game suspension to Pillar?
Yeah, you figured it was going to be 1 or 2 games because I know talking earlier today with executives in Major League Baseball that they felt like that. I mean, if you use Yunel Escobar's 3-game suspension as sort of a precedent, the fact is that Yunel Escobar, for lack of a better word, there's premeditation because you're putting on something on your face and you've got the words on there. Whereas in this case, you know, baseball officials are saying, look, everyone understands this was heat of the moment. He said what he said, and I tell you this, folks in baseball appreciated the fact that right after the game, Kevin was talking about how he made a mistake, and they found his actions, his words, to be nothing less than fully accountable from the get-go with what happened last night. So, you know, 2 games was about where, after talking with folks this morning, I thought it would be.
What do you think about Kevin having to do things after this, being spokesperson or different groups and joining different charities or whatever? Like, is that genuine or is it good enough for people to come out, for him to come out and say, I'm sorry and pay the fine to, do the time for the crime, whatever? Or what do you make of all this?
Well, and without knowing specifically the conversations between Kevin and Major League Baseball and the Blue Jays and, you know, how much the Escobar situation sort of weighed on the Blue Jays and their conversations with Kevin, you figured that he probably would be going the extra mile, and that's what it feels like. I can't tell you if Kevin absolutely believes that this is all, you know, appropriate and something he feels like he should do. I'm sure that he probably, like, you know, a lot of guys who play baseball grew up and would say that word, and 30 years ago, probably, or 25 years ago, it didn't mean something the way that it does now. But I thought it was smart of him to do this, to make it clear to people, look, I am absolutely apologetic for what happened. And I want to make sure people understand that I understand what my mistake was. Because I mean, you guys remember what happened with Escobar. There was a feeling right afterward that, you know, maybe he wasn't necessarily totally on board with what was going on.
Athletes get in trouble a lot. I was one. I've seen it happen. You kind of put a time frame on what kind of, like, does this go away? I mean, Kevin Pillar is a guy that was on the rise and probably had a bunch of sponsorship deals right ahead of him. Can you put a time frame? Not that that's important, but what's the long-term effect on this guy?
Well, the reality is that probably the rest of his baseball career, there'll always be somebody yelling something like that at him, right?
Yeah.
From the stands. You know, fans have a long view. I think within the sport, in terms of baseball executives, in terms of decisions made about his career, I don't think it'll have a lot of impact. You're right, it's possible that, you know, when you get a suspension like this, that the attention alone might make people wary of having be a spokesperson. That's I think that absolutely is probably reality in 2017.
With Buster Olney, ESPN MLB insider, the amazing thing is we've got another game tonight between these two games, teams, and the Braves have just been smoking the Blue Jays, and the Jays need a win. They need to get back on track here. But my sense is out of Atlanta, what Pillar had to say is not even on the radar. You know, not that they like it, not that the Braves fans or community or media aren't willing to talk about it, but the truth is they're upset about what happened with Freeman, and they're upset about Bautista bat flipping them in the eighth inning. So what do you expect out of the Braves going into this game tonight?
I think there's going to be an incident. I mean, I saw that Peter Gammons, a Hall of Fame reporter, tweeted out earlier today that, you know, a Braves veteran said something's going to happen. I mean, I heard similar remarks through a player agent today that they thought that something was going to happen. I actually think that the Braves, if you listen to the comments, you know, by Erica Flaherty and Kurt Suzuki after the game, I think they were more amused by Jose bat flipping than anything, because they're like, really? 8-3? And you're flipping the bat, there's no doubt that if something happens tonight, it's going to happen because of Freddie Freeman getting injured. And within the, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball, the code is, even if it wasn't on purpose, and I haven't seen anyone who suggested that what Aaron Loop did last night hitting Freddie was on purpose, usually there's some call for retaliation. And, you know, we'll see what happens tonight. And my own opinion is I think baseball, you know, rather than try to discourage this sort of thing, they've fostered it by, you know, you guys remember a couple weeks ago, Chris Sale threw behind Manny Machado, and he missed him, and there was no suspension. And so given that, if you're the Braves tonight, you're feeling like, well, you know what, we got one free shot. We can throw behind somebody, but there's no guarantee about how that's actually executed, because pitchers don't always throw the ball where they mean to throw it.
So Buster, Marcus Stroman's going to pitch for the Blue Jays. Who becomes the target?
Because
he has the bat.
Well,
I mean, he has the bat, Stroman. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think Marcus would be. And look, this is based on, you know, just 25 years of covering the game. My guess is that typically it's the best hitter. You know, if Freddie Freeman is the Braves' best player, no question. So the retaliation would be the player that, for some teams, would be the player that's perceived to be the best player on the other side, or the guy who occupies the same position, first base, or the same spot in the lineup. It all depends on what the conversations are among the players. And sometimes those things, you know, aren't even talked about. It's one player taking it upon himself. I've had folks within the Red Sox organization tell me they thought that what happened with Chris Sale and Machado, for example, was Chris Sale taking it upon himself, saying, you know what, we didn't like you hitting Mookie Betts, and here we go.
I got to tell you, Buster, as an athlete or a former athlete, that really sucks if someone else does something stupid and you got to pay the price for it. Like, it's just no fun looking. Like,
that's why I think it'll be Bautista.
Yeah, I've had guys beat up other guys and someone say to me, you're next because I'm going to get you. And I'm like, "Why? What did I do? Why do I deserve that?
In the time that I've had covering baseball, some of the biggest disputes among teammates have been for that exact reason. In other words, some young pitcher loses. He's upset because he gives up a home run. He drills the next hitter between the numbers, and then a veteran player winds up getting lit up. When I covered the Orioles for a couple years, Cal Ripken would tell pitchers, do not retaliate. Do not retaliate, because he knew who was going to be the guy who was going to get retaliated if the other team came back at the Orioles.
with Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider. If you're just tuning in, Kevin Pillar has been suspended 2 games by the Jays in conjunction with Major League Baseball, so he won't be in the lineup tonight. I think it'll be interesting to see how the Jays react if in the top of the first, let's say Bautista gets hit. Do you expect Stroman to feel as if he has to retaliate, or would you expect the Jays to tell him, let them get their flesh and let's move on and be done with this?
I guess it's all depends on if it's carried out, you know, how it's carried out. For example, if let's say Bautista comes up and you know, the Braves do what Chris Sale did and they throw the ball behind the hitter, maybe the Blue Jays' attitude will be like, you know what, we figured that was coming. That's it. You didn't injure any of our guys. But what happens if somebody gets hurt? And I, having seen a lot of these situations play out, a lot of it depends on the temperament of the players involved and what the conversations are between the players and the dugout. I heard of a situation recently where the players were clamoring for retaliation, and it turned out to be someone on the coaching staff who stepped in and said, enough. Don't do that. Someone's going to get hurt. It's not worth it. We play 162 games. Don't get into it. And so we'll just have to wait and see, you know, the nature of if retaliation comes, what form it takes.
I got to tell you, if I knew a mess was coming and I was the opposition, I think I would start it. Throw at them. Just get it out of the way.
Well, that's the beauty of being the home team, I guess, right? Like,
if I'm the Jays, if I think something's coming, I'll just start it and say, you know what, you want it? Here you go.
I don't think they're going to have a chance because I think you're talking top of the first, right, Buster? I can't imagine this is going to go
into
the
third. You think they're going to go that early on it?
I would presume. I mean, the whole world's waiting for it. What's the point of waiting? I mean, unless you're trying to disguise it.
That's the excitement, though. You wait.
Yeah, I don't see it. I think it's going to happen early if it happens at all. But to your point, that would be quite the turning point.
I don't know what it says about me as a sports fan, like that I want to, like.
So you're saying, let me get this straight. The Braves.
I'm telling you that if I knew the Braves, they said all the reports come out, you read Twitter, there's going to be a fight today. I'm going to say, you know what? I'm going to pick it on my terms. I'll start it.
All right, so if the Braves don't throw at the Jays in the top of the first, you want Stroman to go out there in the bottom of the first and bean some guy and
Absolutely.
Throw his glove down and say, let's do it.
Absolutely.
What are the chances, Buster? How would you place odds on that happening?
Buster, am I crazy for thinking that?
Well, I definitely have heard players say that you want to get the advantage, right? You want to get the upper hand in one of the situations because before the umpires give the warnings and then ejections start coming, I will say, boy, if the Blue Jays did that tonight, it might be like that fight back, I think it was 1984, when the Braves and the Padres had like 8 different bench-clearing incidents in one game, if they went that far. My guess is that if something's going to happen, it would either happen in the first base, it would be a pitch behind somebody, there would be a warning, and then it would be over, or it would be, and you see starting pitchers do this sometime, wait till their pitch count gets to 96, 2 outs in the 5th inning, 2 outs in the 6th, and sort of like a parting shot. So if an ejection comes, then they're done. Their day was about done anyway.
Here we are again. We're chatting with Buster Olney with the Jose Bautista bat flip conversation. Very different context. The original conversation revolved around Game 5, ALDS, tons of emotion. We remember what happened in the top of the 7th. And it was the biggest hit of his career. He'll never have a bigger hit than that. So I was fine with the bat flip. I understood where it came from. I felt like that was more about emotion.
Last night was. That was as big.
Yeah, it was equally as big. I think last night was about him saying, you know, screw you, he pimped it, whatever. But Bautista has tried to fight for the right to bat flip and show excitement. And he referenced it after the game. He doesn't see it as being any different than a celebration after a big defensive play or a big strikeout. So I think this is a moment of truth personally for Bautista, because if you are trying to push that narrative forward, that bat flips are all good and I'm going to continue to do it, I don't think he should ever apologize for it. But I felt like he was apologizing by the time he got to the plate last night, Buster. So where do you stand on this, and what do you make of maybe the confusion of Bautista's actions followed by his words?
Well, and I agree with you, there's some confusion on it. And first off, I don't care if players like bat flip. It doesn't offend me. I just think guys are showing emotion. We learned from the late Jose Fernandez, who when he first got to the big leagues, opponents were offended by it. And then they realized after about 2 years, you know what? This guy just plays with emotion. That's just him. And it wasn't that big of a deal. And the thing that I think that I think it's missed about Jose, and I always compare him to Tony La Russa, you know, the Hall of Fame manager. A couple times Tony ripped me on the record to newspapers and said, you know, this guy has no credibility, and it offended me. And then after a while, you know, as you sort of you get to know Tony, you're like, you know what? That's just how he goes through his day, right? He's looking to pick a fight with somebody. He's looking to be angry at somebody. He's trying to get himself going. Jose got off to a slow start. He's been doing better of late. He's getting himself going. I think that's what a lot of that is more about than trying to show somebody up. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but I almost feel like with Jose, it's like, nah, I wouldn't worry about it. And that's why I thought it was interesting to listen to Kurt Suzuki, who's a great guy, and Eric O'Flaherty after the game. I think they were like, much more like, come on, you're kidding me, right? You're going to bat flip down five runs. He's like the Vikings kick returner 2 years ago. Like, he's doing a dance in the end zone when the Vikings were down 35 to nothing.
Well, I will say this about getting your licks in first. If there's a brawl tonight and someone's coming at Bautista, punch first. Do not let the Odor type get to you first, because we know how that can play out. Really appreciate you stepping in here and doing this for us. Always appreciate the insight, and we'll have to do it again soon. Thank you, Buster.
That sounds great, guys. Take care.
Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider.
I'll tell you what, I wonder how Stroman's going to factor into this. Like, when he strikes a guy out and he does the death stare on the way back to the dugout, it could be a mess. I want to see a mess.
Yeah,
I like what Buster said about Cal Ripken. Cal Ripken would tell his pitchers, don't be, because he knew he was going to be the target. But the Blue Jays' best players were all on the disabled list, right, or suspended, like Pilar.
Do you remember defenseman in St. Louis? I think he was a Czech. Perron, or I don't know what his last name was. Pilon or Perron, or anyway, he was a skilled guy for the Blues. Gary Roberts decided he was going to drop his gloves and beat the living daylights out of this guy. And I skated back to the bench, and Tony Twist and Kelly Chase stood up and said, excuse me, we're going to kill you. I'm like, why? What did I do? They're like, well, Gary Roberts just killed our defenseman, and now we're going to kill him. And Kelly Chase was a friend of mine, and he was dead serious. He's like, me or Twister, you better watch out, because we're going to get you. And I guess how I played the rest of the game. Like a loser.
Your head was on a swivel?
Dude, all I heard, it was like, you know, the bull breathing. Twister and Chaser were just skating around trying to kill me. And I'm like,
what a tag team,
You know, sports, like, nothing's fair, right? But I'm thinking to myself, do I really deserve this? Like, do I need this? I don't need this in my life.
I'm glad you brought up a bull, because word was spreading yesterday quickly that you were riding a mechanical bull outside of the rink in Ottawa.
It's because of Duffy. He always makes me do stupid things. I'm like Chris Farley with him.
And he's David Spade?
Yeah, he's like, oh, get on the bull. I'm like, why? He goes, it's a funny picture. I'm like, really? So I got up there. I jumped onto the trampoline thing, and I'm like, Duffy, I go, if I jump on that, the ass side of my suit will explode. I can't get on. He goes, just do it. Get up there. So I had to, like, bunny hop onto the bull.
He kind of sewered you, too, because he took a picture and he posted it on Twitter and Instagram and said, caption this, just asking for trolls to jump on board.
And they trolled.
Did they troll? I last time I checked, there were a couple of decent captions, but most of them were G or PG rated, so not completely.
One was, is there ketchup on that?
Which you got to support that. That's a good line.
That's funny.
That's a funny line. So Duffy can get you to do stupid things.
He's just always like, oh, do this. We'll take a picture. It's funny.
Why was there a mechanical bull outside anyway? Like, is there a fan zone outside of
the part of the fan zone.
Isn't that potentially like a liability issue? Some guy goes flying off that thing?
You would think.
I'm not sure I would want that.
They got
that.
A whole routine out there.
How would you compare the pregame there to in Toronto?
I hate to tell you, Leaf fans, but I'm hashtag all in with the Sens right now.
You're Mr. Ottawa now. Look at you. I knew you were going to do this. I knew you were going to do getting
Dude,
up on the
you
ball.
You're
a man of the people. You're going to show up in a Carlson jersey.
I'm supporting Canadian
next.
Hockey teams, and Ottawa's still in. Hashtag all in.
You're sticking by that. I'll give you credit, because you said that a week ago, and you and I both disagreed pretty seriously.
Well, what did
I
tell you the score of that game would be last night?
You called a blowout.
5-0. It was 5-1.
You called a blowout. You're getting a lot of credit for that, and you deserve it. I didn't see that coming. What's your read on the game tonight? You want to give us a 10% pro line best bet?
Jerry's percentages. I had 10% on five goals.
That's
really?
Right.
Yeah, I did. They'd only scored four in the two games previous, so I just
thought
took
they were going to ride the energy
out absolutely
the fans,
right.
And they did what they did.
I want
what I
somebody
said,
in Ottawa.
I guarantee you, I don't think it's going to happen the next game.
Are you going up there? You'll be up there tomorrow?
No, I'm back at work.
Wait a second. Hashtag all in, and you're not in Ottawa?
Well,
he can support them from Toronto. There's some Ottawa fans kicking
around.
How?
I want to see how this is going to play out.
I don't know why we're all not up there. Like, radio, we should be supporting these guys. And
I'm not going to support them. I've got no interest in doing that. I've said that to you many times. I'm not supporting Ottawa.
I was going to suggest a 92 O'Neill Senators jersey. Somebody present it to Jeff. We'll see how all in he is.
So you and Eugene Melnyk, your boys now. Let me guess, you're cool with the investigations and all that kind of stuff.
I will say I'm on familiar terms with, there's a place called the Bell Club in the rink, which you get to eat beforehand. My main girl, Sarah, the general manager, she takes care of TSN staff.
They've got a great setup there.
Yeah, they
like
do.
That little studio that TSN has, it's
the
great.
Best. It's the best, like, sight lines in the whole rink.
Someone texting and saying, I'm from Ottawa. There's a bar called Crazy Horse near the rink that you can ride that bull. A bunch of the Sens players go there to do things. I should have read this text before I actually went through it live.
To do things?
If we go there to do things.
Yes, to hunt. Anyway, all right.
Hunt.
Masai Ujiri will join us in about 10 minutes. We haven't heard from Masai. We'll ask
I got to say one thing. Where that rink is in Ottawa?
Brutal.
It's brutal.
It may as well be in the middle of nowhere. It is in the middle of nowhere. But, you can't even consider it Ottawa. It's not even in the greater Ottawa area. It's 25 minutes from downtown, isn't it?
Garbage. It's more than that.
Yeah, it is more than that.
It's a good 40 minutes.
How
do you build a rink 40 minutes from your downtown core? How do you do that?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Imagine everyone in the downtown core in Toronto driving up to Vaughan Mills. Wouldn't that be comparable?
Imagine the ACC was at Vaughan Mills. How annoying and
right beside that Colossus movie theater across the street. People would go nuts.
There's a Dave and Buster's up there, I think.
Yeah, there is.
I'm a fan of Dave and Buster's.
You
never been there before?
No. Good luck when you go with
your kid. I think Kara Wagland's a fan of Dave and Buster's, too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I miss Kara Wagland.
She'll be back. She's doing her thing.
Yeah.
We should pop out and see her.
We could pull a pop-in. I don't know how that would go over. I don't personally like a pop-in. I don't know how many people like the pop-in.
Yeah, if I was her husband, Bobby, I wouldn't, if I opened the door and it was me, I'd be like, hey, is Kara here? I'd be like, dude, take a lap.
Well, call in advance. Give us a heads up or something, right?
I think Kara should come down to work with the kid and see us.
This is a Seinfeld episode. It's being written right here. Don't like the pop-in.
No one's a fan of the pop-in.
Yeah, there
no
we go.
One likes a pop-in.
You don't like a random pop-in?
I hate the random pop-in. What if I'm not in the mood for a pop-in? What if I've got things on the go? What if I'm about to leave the house? I don't want
to
pop-in.
Very simple. You don't answer the door.
Jerry's got a good point there.
Thank you, George. Masai Ujiri in about 10 minutes. Bob McKenzie at 6:20. Overdrive continues TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. You can text us 10-50-50 at any point in the show or any point in the day if you want. Someone texting and saying the cell phone killed the pop-in about 10 years ago. That's a good point, because if you have a cell phone, there's no excuse for you to just pop in.
There's an Italian guy that does a skit on the difference between people showing up at your house now as opposed to 20 years ago. People take cover if that doorbell rings now. No one answers the door.
No one listens to voicemail, and no one answers the door. You're so right, man. I'm in the same boat. That doorbell rings, I'm hiding behind things. I'm not going to open the door, because who are you? There's no way I know you, because if I did know you, you would have called in advance to say you were coming by.
I used to think I was a nice guy, and I got all grown up, and I had a house in this nice neighborhood, and Halloween, I was like, Lights off. I'm not home.
Okay, that's a different story. Dude, Halloween. Halloween is different.
Brian, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it.
Okay, but you know that kids are coming. Like, it's not...
I don't care, though. I can't deal with that.
That's not considered a pop-in. They're not into the house.
When I was single with my own house, it meant sports on TV in my room. Everything else off. Not one knock. You won't get a knock because everything's off.
Well, that's true. If you send out the vibe, like you've got the creepy house on the block, no one's going to come by.
Is it gutless, though, if you just put out a big, like, the big pan of candy and just say, have at it?
No, I think that's okay. It's better than nothing. It's a gesture. You're a part of the community.
Especially if you're not home. It's a really nice gesture. But if you're home.
Yeah, you are still kind of sending off a weird vibe. But
no, I'm not doing that.
All right.
Was that the first time you've ever been on a mechanical bull?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, no, no.
Masai Ujiri will join us here in a moment. I'm sure he was watching that Cavalier game last night. LeBron puts up 38. After the game, he comes out and says he wasn't feeling that great. So maybe he's actually going to get better.
We weren't even that good.
We weren't even that good. The standard routine when the better team wins big in the first game, it's never about the fact that the other team isn't good enough or they can't possibly be better. It's, we didn't really love our game. There's some mistakes we can clean up here. The Cavs are 9-0 in the playoffs. The Warriors are 10-0. They are collectively 19-0. These two teams are going to go back to the finals for the third time in a row, and they may be better this year than they have been the previous 2 years.
And the first time one of them may lose may be the first game of the NBA Finals.
I think there's a very good chance that will be the case. Yeah. The more and more you watch it, I keep holding out hope the Spurs will get one, the Celts will get one. But
they're not getting one.
Yeah, what am I doing? The definition of insanity. Why would I expect a different result?
Well, here's what I would ask you is you watch, and maybe Masai can answer this a lot. Well, I know he can answer a lot better than any of us, certainly me. But you watch. What indication is there that they can one of those teams can be beaten? I don't see one.
Here's another thing that I think is on the line. We talk about the great teams of all time, and it's very difficult to compare eras and compare teams. But if one of these teams, if they all go 12-0 and get to the finals, and then Golden State or Cleveland sweep Golden State or Cleveland, how could they not be considered the greatest team of all time? If you go 16-0 in the playoffs, including a sweep over a team that had not lost prior to meeting you in the finals, like I kind of think history could be on the line in the finals. For
well, it's kind
one of these teams.
It's one of those things, Brian, where I think you've been disappointed about both teams marching their way to the finals, but will it not be one of your most anticipated finals ever?
Absolutely it will be.
And does that kind of take away the negativity of the first three rounds?
I think it's going to...
Where you're
to...
like so excited to say, okay, we got the monster matchup. They're back again. Am I forgetting about... What happened before?
I think
everybody forgets,
people
right?
will forget. When they're in the moment, if that turns into a seven-game bloodbath, back and forth, punch fest, both
you know the league is forgetting.
Brilliant.
They're saying to the fans, I don't care what you think about what just happened. Our ratings, our matchup right now, it's the best of the best, the two best teams for the third straight year. Go ahead. Have at it.
It'll do monster ratings.
Monster
and
ratings.
And it'll more than likely save the season. It will become the most memorable part of the season. Not... What happened with Westbrook versus Harden, not what happened with the Cavs in the second half of the season, not the fact that the playoffs leading up to the finals were so predictable. If this turns into an epic battle between these two teams and one of them wins in Hollywood fashion in Game 7, that will become the story. That will save the playoffs. But leading up to the finals, I think this is a horrible look for the NBA.
How would it compare to a Nashville-Ottawa Stanley Cup final?
Probably a bit different, I would think. Probably a bit different. But with the Cavs and the Warriors collectively 19-0 at this point, it's a huge turnoff for me.
I want to ask Masai. He might come up with a new way to win, or he said in his press conference, we've got to come up with our own way to win. How do you come up with a way to win to beat one of these two teams?
Let's bring in Masai Ujiri from the Raptors. We'll put you on the spot right off the hop, Masai. I mean, how do you catch these two teams, Cleveland and Golden State?
You know, I haven't even watched the game, so I see the results. You know, like our jobs are to figure out a way to beat them. You know, like it's our jobs. You know, like it's why you don't sleep. It's why you have to. You have to come up with one way or the other, you know, like, and they'll be beaten. I know that, you know, like, when will it be? I couldn't tell you that, you know, like, but they will, you know, like, that's just the way these things don't last forever, you know, like, we have to continue to try to, you know, like, a solution right now, you know, like, I don't have it, you know, like, and even if I had it, I wouldn't be saying it on radio right now.
How difficult is that struggle? I mean, LeBron's going to probably, he's 7 straight finals, probably. You know, you want to make your team competitive and take them down, but how difficult is the reality that this guy, every season, he just ends up in the finals?
Yeah, it's the way you look at it, you know, like, and how old is he, you know, like, and how do you measure that? You know, like, I'm not sure he'll do it forever, you know, like, but you just have to keep figuring out, you know, like, ways to build your team, develop it to do that, or bring players that are going to do that, you know, like, or whatever the options are, you know, like, you have to weigh them, you know, like, or rebuild. And when we say rebuild, sometimes people don't know when you play with young players, you know, like, you don't have a, you know, like, yeah, talking about 5-6 years from now, you know, like, I mean, we've seen it with teams that have done it. So it's what we're paid to do, you know, like, we have to go back to the drawing board and try and evaluate that.
When you talk about going back to the drawing board, Masai, and you're right, that is the job of a manager, find solutions. But Greg Popovich said after game 2, when the Spurs got blown out by the Warriors, he said, our team didn't believe that they could win. Is that also a factor that comes in with your players when they get up against a juggernaut in the case of both the Cavaliers and the Warriors right now?
With our players, after just the small evaluation I've been doing, you know, like, is there a mixture of, you know, like, we didn't, I don't know, you know, like, it's what I'm still studying, and it's excuse making time for me, you know, like, to put everything and then look at everything on in every different perspective now, you know, like, and could we have played better, done better, been these guys? No, I don't know, you know, like, but I take all those factors that, you know, like, well, Kawhi Leonard didn't play in that game. They're up, they lost him, you know, like, it could be a completely different result, you know, like, but I don't think there was a little bit of were we complacent, you know, like, I don't know, you know, like, did we believe that we could beat these guys, you know, like, I think we did, you know, like, but collectively, I don't know, you know, like, how, if it came together, like, quick enough, you know, like, we kind of missing games and all that stuff, you know, like, you just need to, you need to have momentum, be ready for adversity, be in sync, you know, like, with each other. And it's why I tell you guys every year, I say to you, when people say you don't make, I don't make a trade deadline, you know, like, because it's not I don't believe in it, you know, like, but and this one I did, because, you know, like, at least you have rights to the players in some kind of way. But you need that training camp, you know, like, it almost seems like it's a quick fix, which a lot of the times it's never been successful. This is an example, you know, like, it just happened, and is what I've always said, almost, you know, like, but, you know, like, one of the reasons we did it was for the rights, you know, like, and you need a training camp, you need all of that, you know, like, so when I build all of this, you know, like, how I don't think, you know, like, it's like when we played Milwaukee, well, we overcame, you know, like, people were saying, did we not believe that we could beat Milwaukee? We did, you know, like, and those guys are tough, they played us tough, but we also went and won 2 games over there, and people make all these blowouts and all that stuff a big deal. That's just the nature of the NBA. You saw it yesterday. You saw San Antonio do it to Houston. You saw Golden State do it to San Antonio. So It doesn't put us on any lower caliber or high caliber. You know, like that's the nature of the NBA. You know, like now. So, to me, I don't think is not believing that you can win. You know, like we were just not in sync and. In that Cleveland series, and then you lose your guy for 2.5 games out of the four in Kyle, makes it a little bit difficult for us. But it was no excuses for me why we should get swept in that series.
Masai, you seemed emotional after the season. You kind of told reporters you don't really understand why we're doing this right now. How long does it take you to kind of settle in and settle down, and then kind of refocusing and going forward? I could understand the frustration. Where are you at right now? How different is your headspace at right now than when you talk to the media after the season?
Oh, I'm still frustrated. I'm still, you know, like I'm the same way every day. You know, like that was everybody thinks. You know, like that's competitiveness. You know, like that's wanting to win. You know, like that, and that's every day. That never changes. You know, like I feel that way. You know, all I was explaining, you know, is it's very hard, you know, like I think somebody here has done it before, being a GM of a team. There's no how that we've, you know, like we can make a decision in one day, you know, like where I say, hey, you know, like I've come out here and decided, oh, this is not going to be the coach, or this is not going to, we're not bringing back this guy, or, you know, like that was my explanation to them, you know, like that, you know, like this is going to be BS because I'm going to give you these answers, you know, like that are same, you know, like these things take a while to evaluate. We're still looking. We've had all kinds of meetings, you know, like with everything that we're doing. And it's honestly, it's not like that our culture is bad or we're doing anything, you know, like I want to figure out that we've got ourselves to a certain place, you know, like of winning, you know, like, and so how do you take it to the next level? And what are the things that we need to reset to tighten up? We'll keep it like this. This is easy to keep it like this, in my opinion, you know, like to be second, third, fourth in the East every year, you know, like just continue being competitive, you know, like I don't know that's that hard for any, doesn't have to be me. Any GM can do that. Anybody can do that. How do you take it to that next level is what your first question was, and it's what we're racking our heads now. And everybody has to tighten up. Everybody has to try and figure it out. We all have to do it. I think that's key.
With Masai Ujiri, and with that being the case, you've mentioned culture here a couple of times, and that, I think, was the one phrase that really came out of your press conference 9-10 days ago, was you suggesting you need a culture change.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen if the same main characters, such as Kyle, DeMar, Dwayne Casey, the guys who have been here consistently for years, how do you create a culture change if you bring back the same people?
How did it create and I use the word cultural reset, but how did it create a cultural reset when we first came here? We weren't making the playoffs. They hadn't made the playoffs for how many years? Kyle was here. DeMar was here. Dwayne was here. The same question, you know, like, and that's what I battle, you know, like with myself. I say, okay, we've raised this level from here to here. There's nobody. And, you know, like I've said this to our players, to everybody, to coaches, you know, there's nobody, to anybody in the city, there's nobody that can say they thought DeMar DeRozan would be a three. Today was named third team NBA, all NBA, I think. You know, like, is there anybody, you know, like that thought DeMar DeRozan would be 3-4-time All-Star? Kyle Lowry would be 3-4-time All-Star. You know, like, we would have gone to the Eastern Conference Finals and second round in the playoffs. Will be an average of the last 4 years, average of 50 wins or whatever it is, you know, like, there's nobody that would have said would have done that, you know, like, and this is not a pat in the back, but I'm just saying, if you're asking that question now, we asked that question when we came here and we said we need to look at things differently, you know, like, and so I'm saying we need to look at things differently a little bit, and where we need a reset to take it to another level, you know, like, we're not afraid of trying. We're not going to be afraid of trying it. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it might be right or wrong, but I know that 4 years ago, it was not the same. There was this question too.
With Masai Ujiri, obviously we all knew Kyle Lowry was going to opt out of his deal. That makes him a free agent. He can walk. He can re-sign. Rick Bucher has a piece up on the Bleacher Report website. I want to get your response. He was speaking with an executive in the West, I believe, a Western Conference VP of basketball operations. Here's what he had to say about what he thinks is going to happen. Quote, Toronto has been good to Kyle, but I don't think he wants to continue living there. I could see him leaving, end quote. How true is that, that Toronto in and of itself and the idea of Kyle living here is going to factor into his decision?
I think it actually, like, favors more, you know, like, because I think actually, like, Kyle loves it here. I think his wife loves it here. I think his kids are doing excellent in school. Kyle is here for the next 5 weeks, you know, like, or since after the season, it will be here for 5 weeks, you know, like, you know, like, people are always going to, you know, like, speculate and say, you know, like, all these things, you know, like, that's what, you know, like, this kind of thing, you know, like, brings, you know, like, guys, it's the same questions we got asked about DeMar last year. Go back and check it. Go back and check the radio shows. Go back and check everything, you know, like, the same exact thing. And all I say is our job to bring back these players, if that's what's supposed to happen or we want to happen or convince them to come back here, it's our job. It's my job to do it. You know, like, I don't not listening to any VP of, like, basketball operations from where the hell is he getting his information from? Or you know what? Why don't you put a name to it? Why does it have to be, you know, like, a source or something? You know, like, so I don't believe it's the same thing sources said, that DeMar wants to go to the Lakers, DeMar wants to do this, he wants to do that. Every year, same old Kyle stuff, like, from 2-3 years ago, the same old thing. You know, like, it's our job, guys, to do it. It's our job to make this thing work. That's all I can say.
Before we let you go, can you just clarify, with Kyle opting out, can you still talk with him, or do you have to wait until the end of June? How does that work?
Well, Kyle's our player, you know, like, Kyle has, I think he's been in here, you know, like, we're working out a couple of times, you know, like, he's come to the gym a couple of times. So, you know, like, we're not talking about July 1, you know, like, that's not a conversation now, but yeah, we're allowed to talk to the player.
All right, well, we're looking forward to seeing where this all goes, obviously, and when you've got more news, we'll get you back on here. Thank you for doing this.
Guys, trust me, it's not all doomsday, I'm telling you.
All right.
we'll be okay.
All right, we're hoping that everything comes together.
We'll be okay, guys. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Masai. Masai Ujiri.
I love the fact what he just said. It's his job to convince the player. I hear that same BS all the time. Oh, the player doesn't want to play here. He wants to play there. And it's always, like, to Masai's point, some unnamed source that's never been to Toronto. Give me a break.
Well, this is
such a bunch of garbage.
The bigger picture question, Craig, is, do you really want to sign a guy long-term with big money?
You have no choice. I'm not saying – see, Masai said this. If they decide that's what they want to do.
The Colorado Avalanche, where they were at the top of the mountain.
It's a different cap system.
How do you approach that, where you're like, what are we doing here? Because we're not even close to that.
Okay, so what do they do then?
I understand you can't mail it in and say, we're not even going to put a team out in the floor.
But you still have to spend money. Part of the problem, part of the challenge in the salary cap is you got to spend the money somewhere. So who are you going to spend it on? Are you going to spend it on the guy that you know? I mean, these are the evaluations that the Raptors and Masai have to go through. Or are you going to spend it on somebody that you don't know, and it's going to be similar money? Because you got to spend that money.
I guess, ultimately, I'm jealous.
Of?
Once, I would like to be the team that everybody, like, whatever team it is, the Jays, the Raps, the Toronto Maple Leafs, where everyone's like, how do we compete with that? I want to be on the radio show that's like, that's our guy. Like, I want to say they can't compete with us.
Well, and that's it's what's happening, like, in Cleveland and the Bay Area right
can
now.
Can you imagine doing the Cleveland drive home, like, the last?
But, Jeff, how much fun is it to do the Leafs now?
Well,
all right, we'll continue this. We'll get back into what he had to say. There was one part of his comment that stood out to me in terms of,
it's going to be real fun,
leaving it open to debate in terms of whether they're even going to bring him back. We'll get that clip. We'll kick it off in the 6 p.m. hour. Bob McKenzie going to join us. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, Bob McKenzie at 6:20. We'll recap our conversation with Masai Ujiri. Kevin Pillar suspended 2 games. We'll tee up the Braves-Jays game tonight and see where this goes.
We're also going to get into some basketball hockey talk. We just talked to Masai, and we'll discuss if there's one hockey player like LeBron, if he went to the worst team in the league, could he turn them into a contender?
All right, we'll do that as well. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.